Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Everyone, this is Dr. V, and you are tuned in to Love Your Making. I'm so glad you're here. Want to send blessings to you all over the world globally. It is a wonderful, absolutely amazing Thursday, and unless you're in my part of the world where it's kind of wet, you're probably having even a more amazing day, and I hope so. Let's go to prayer real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify your name this day. We thank you for the Love You're Making broadcast. We thank you, oh God, for those that are listening live and those that are listening archived. God, we know that the Holy Spirit has something to tell your leaders today. Oh God, this is a leader-to-leader broadcast, and we want to just be in a state of self-improvement for your glory. So help us today. Let the Holy Spirit take us deeply into this place so that we can be better representatives of you and in the world today. And Father God, we just thank you in advance for doing the work in us, what needs to be done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, this is Dr. V, and welcome again to Love Your Making. Listen, we have a few minutes, and I just want to tell you that our topic today is called Keep Improving. Keep Improving. If you want to love your making, you want to measure your success, but also you want to be intentional about becoming successful, not just in a project, but successful in living, successful in being, successful in leading, successful in completing the vision that God has given you for your life. And so with that, I have three principles today that I want to talk to you about in Loving Your Making. We want to lift up these three principles today. One is preparation. Two is contemplation. And three is application. Here we go. Preparation, contemplation, application. When we believe God for that is in us, which is great, when we believe him that he is going to make us and mold us and shape us for his glory. I believe that. I believe that the scripture that says that good work that you started in me, you are faithful to complete it. But also I believe that we all are to be a part of the making process. In other words, the scripture that says Jesus grew, hallelujah, and he waxed strong, and he waxed with favor with God and with man. I got that for myself. My own personal commentary is that Jesus participated in his improvement. He participated in his growing process. And so with doing that, I think when he shows up on the scene early on around 12 and he goes in the temple and he is questioning the leaders in the temple, that was a part of his preparation process. He even told his parents, didn't you know I must be what? About my father's business. So we see him at 12, and then the next time we see him, he's in his early 30s, and then he's actually doing some amazing things. We see him at the wedding, turning water into wine. And that must have been kind of early because his mom had to kind of urge him to go on. He told she told the people to do what he tells you to do. In other words, I think she must have seen him do this before or believed that he could do anything. You know, that was a pretty miraculous thing, turning water into the best wine in the house. But his mother believed that he could do it. And so I think his mother had seen him in a state of preparation, of course, and that she believed that he could be successful in some things. Weddings were very public celebrations back then, so I know she wouldn't put her son on blast if she didn't believe that he's capable of doing what was what she asked him to do. And of course he was a little resistant at first, but he went ahead on and done it. Yeah, he did. And so you see that preparation in the life of Christ is pretty evident, because not only that, he went from turning water into wine, into raising people from the dead, as Lazarus, and making blind eyes see, amazing. Also taking a few fish and some loaves of bread and feeding over 5,000 people. I mean, he would have these, what intents and purposes, major conferences, major meetings, and he would minister spiritually and physically to the people. And so he had to, I believe, had some preparation for that level of ministry. And then we see him in terms of contemplation, just stealing away by himself and being reflective. You know, he would often go up to the mountains and he would pray alone. You know, after he would do a major act of ministry, then he would pull back. He would tell his disciples, you know, you guys go on over. I'll meet you on the what? Other side. So he valued time alone, Christ did. He's a perfect example of a leader that knows that there are times where you can be public and sharing what you've been prepared to do and to perform and to lead. And then there are times where you pull yourself away from the scene and you're in quiet contemplation, prayer even, and assessing, you know, what you've done, what you could have done better, what to come and that kind of thing. Contemplation is an essential part of self-improvement, I believe. And then application. One thing I love so much about Jesus' brief ministry is that he chose a team of people, about 12 men, to intimately train and to do what he did. In fact, before it was over, he says, greater things will you do. Why? Because I go to the Father. We see him sending out the disciples two by two and then expecting a report when they return of what they did, what they accomplished. So not only did he apply, in other words, he demonstrated what he could do. He demonstrated his teaching. He demonstrated his prayer life. He would pray publicly this there, and he also demonstrated patience. He also demonstrated compassion. He had friends. You know, he had prayer time. He had downtime. He had times to where he was instructing his disciples and encouraging them. And then he had an expectation that they would bring back a great report. Amen. And so, but he also let them know that it is all the work that you do. The best thing you can do is make sure that your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. So he kept them centered, because, you know, disciples, they went back and then when they accomplished great things, he said, even the demons, are subject to us. He didn't want them to get the big head, so he told them, you know, listen, just be glad. Just be glad your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. So the application had to do with not only what he did, but as he trained other people, he had an expectation from them that they would stay centered, keep the main thing the main thing, but also that he kept them and it had a he had an expectation that they would be accountable for the work that they had done. That's there. When I was thinking and meditating about this morning, I was thinking, wow, you know, Jesus had an idea of what was important when he sent the disciples out two by two. And, you know, I don't know all the deepest part of that, but I'm glad that he did it, because sometimes when we're doing something new for the first time, we need a witness, someone to reflect. Well, I think you talked too long. I think you didn't talk long enough. I think you moved too quickly. Some good reflection, someone outside of us, you know, discerning or constructively observing our behavior is a good way to grow. You remember, the topic is about self-improving and keep improving. In other words, don't stop. Really be committed to ever learning what is necessary in order for you to be successful in your mission. Amen. I mean, if you just tune in, this is Love You're Making here on the Josie's Inspirational Network on the Finding My Way platform. And we're just excited to have you to listen in on the broadcast this morning and this afternoon, wherever you are in the world. God bless you. Keep improving is our topic. And we were talking about how preparation and contemplation and application are key as leaders. We want to spend time, a lot of time. I reference Jesus and his 32 years of ministry showing up on the scene. We see him starting at 12, or see him beginning to come out at 12. And so 18 years later, you know, he shows up on the scene and it looks like, you know, Jesus got some scale, right? You see him doing some major miracles. You see him teaching in a deep way. In fact, he was teaching so amazingly, you know, that one person came to him by night and he says, you know, I know you must be a teacher sent by God. No one can teach like this. Never heard anybody sound as deep and wonderful, you know, before you, Jesus. And so he wanted to know, how could he be born again? How could he go back into his mother's womb, you know, and be born again? And so Jesus was able to sit down with him and talk and explain it. But it was a result, I believe, of his preparation. In other words, he knew the scripture. In fact, one time we found him going in to the synagogue and opening up. I think he opened up, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think he opened up Isaiah and to begin to read out of that. And he says, this day, Isaiah 61, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And he would often tell his disciples, well, Moses had you to do this, or Moses, you know, operated in this way, or your forefathers did this, or it is written. So you can tell by the way that Jesus was responding to his disciples that he had spent time in preparation, reading the Torah, reading the old manuscripts, and knowing what the law was all about, and knowing the difference between law and what he came to represent, which was grace. Amen? And so preparation, key. Preparation, key. Spend time studying. The Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved. Workmen and women needed not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So don't just study leaders just to prepare a sermon or just to prepare a teaching, but study for your own life. Study for your own development. You know, let your devotionals. I'm a hospice chaplain, and so I get excited about going to my clients and going over a scripture-based devotional. And every time I do that, I learn something wonderful about the scripture. But guess what? Before I even get to my clients to share it with them, I read my devotionals. I read the Word of God. I open it up and say, God, what would you have me to talk about today? Or what would you have me to know today about myself based on this scripture that's there? And so I do it for my own self-development, and I also do it to be prepared to minister to families who are facing some of the most tragic times in their lives, when they know that their loved ones or even themselves are may have, if the disease progresses, 6 months or less to live. And so every word that I minister to them based on scripture is a life-giving word, and it makes the end of their life and those days have a quality. And so I'm very serious about preparing myself for my clients, but I'm also very serious about preparing myself for me. One of my favorite scriptures is the entrance of God's word bringeth light. And so when I need light, when there's a dark place going on in one area of my life, I'm searching the scripture to, you know, so I can get some light turned on, a wisdom rendered for that situation. So, and to me, that's preparation for me, not only as a leader, it's preparation for me for my own personal life, my family life, you know, the life I live, you know, outside the 11 to 2 hour where I'm in church, or outside the hours where I'm doing my PRN work as a chaplain. Preparation, can I tell you, leaders, preparation is so key. And then contemplation. Sit down early in the morning after your prayer and after your devotion and just sit for an additional 20 minutes if you have the time and just listen to see what the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you about your next steps. What steps should you take and what moves should you make? I believe that the Holy Spirit is very, very good at imparting to you when he has your complete attention. In other words, be intentional about setting aside 20 minutes just to listen, not ask for anything. This is after prayer and devotion, but just sit and listen so the Holy Spirit can begin to impart into you next steps for your life. Whether it's personal or public life, I believe he'll tell you. I've known the Holy Spirit to be very, very aware of things in my life that I'm not paying attention to. I would get an unction, check your bank account. I would get an unction. Well, I know where you're going. I would say sometimes, Holy Spirit, I know you know where my glasses are. And he does. And I'll go where I hear that prompting is, and guess what? That's where they are. So I'm saying that to say, in your contemplation, the Holy Spirit knows where you are. He tracks you spiritually. He tracks you in the natural. He tracks you in your personal business. And certainly he tracks you in your public affairs that's there. So, you know, that contemplation for me, let Dr. V tell you this, I believe it is a time to where you just intently desire to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say about your life and what you're doing and how you're doing it and who you're doing it with, all of that, right? Glory to God. And so the last one is application. You know, there is, Paul talked about this. He says, it's not that you enter a race. It is how you run the race is important. I have a formula that I've been working through for years and still continue to work through it. It's called intent, the spirit of love, intensity, the spirit of increase, and integrity. You heard this before from me probably if you listen for a minute. Integrity is the spirit of truth. Those are my foundational principles, love, increase, and truth. And so that my application has a lot to do with how I stand on the foundation of these three principles. Whatever I do, whatever practice, whatever behavior I have, whatever, however I roll out as a leader, is my foundation love? Do I love what I'm doing? Do I love the people I'm doing it with or for? Okay? Do I love what I am doing? Do I love the people I'm doing it with, or do I love the people that I'm doing it for? First of all, can't happen unless I really love God. Amen? Got to love God, got to love myself, got to love other people. So the spirit of love is where I stand on that. And then the next thing is I want increase in the life, in my life, and in the lives of the people that I serve. And so that's my motivation. God, is what I'm going to say, what I'm going to teach, how I'm going to pray, how I'm going to minister, how I'm going to lead, is it going to bring increase in the lives of those that I'm working with? And if it doesn't bring increase, if it doesn't start out with the spirit of love, if it does not bring increase, then I shouldn't be doing it. I shouldn't be applying that practice or shouldn't be working that in that methodology in what I'm doing. And then the last one, what's the truth about it? Can I squarely put it in the Word of God? Can I squarely say that this is birthed from the character of God working through me, that I'm applying this method in my life and whatever I'm doing? Is it the truth? Is it righteous? Does it benefit? Does it glorify God? Ask these kind of questions within myself and then prove it out in how I operate, how I share what God has given me to share. Amen? And so as a leader, if I'm going to improve when I do that kind of self-inquiry about how I am continuing to learn and improve myself, I take inventory of myself. Am I loving? Am I operating out of the spirit of increase? Am I operating in truth? Just ask yourself those questions, leaders, and you'll find that you can track yourself. I'm wiser. I'm 64 and some change. I'm wiser than I was at 50. Ask me how. I know that, right? Because some decisions I made when I was 50, I don't make those decisions today. And I can look back and say, girl, you were really in some darkness right there when you made those kind of moves and those kind of decisions and you had that kind of disposition. But I look back 14, almost 15 years ago, and say, I have grown. How do I know I've grown? Because I'm more conscious of love. Everything that I do it in love. Everything I do because I want the situation to increase for the glory of God. And I do that based on my knowledge and my willingness to be about the truth of the matter. Amen? Glory to God. And so you don't want me to go back to 40 or 30, right? But I can tell you in the last 30 years, Dr. V have what? Grown. I valued more my preparation time in order to show up and bring God glory in my own home and in my ministry. And I've also value the time that I pull away in contemplation and self-inventory and listening to the Holy Spirit. I've grown in that area. I spend much more time meditating on the Word of God and listening to the Holy Spirit than I did in my 30s and my 40s and my 50s. Well, you might say, Dr. B, you slowed down a little bit. Yes, I slowed down a whole lot. Amen. But in that slowing down, I'm increasing my time with listening to the instructions of the Father, as Proverbs says, Proverbs 4, I think. Listen to the instructions of your Father. Amen. And so we learn to do that in wisdom. And as I've done that, I found out that my preparation time is more fruitful, my contemplation time is more fruitful, and my application. You know, I'm doing greater work in less time. Why? Because I'm doing it with more love, with in the spirit of increase, in the spirit of truth. I'm just saying it just wraps around. It's like a loop. It just loops back around and go, okay, this is why that became successful, because you had more time preparing. You had more time contemplating about it, thinking about it, listening to the Holy Spirit and his thoughts about it, and then your application. Like, oh, my God, that is amazing, Dr. V, what you did right there. And it all had to do with my taking time to prepare. And so Jesus was my example. Paul was my example. Paul used, when he said the statement, I found that whatever state I find myself in, therein to be content, I didn't understand that as much as I understand now. And I understand it so much better. Why? Because I understand that Paul kept the main thing the main thing. He was mission focus. He didn't care how many shipwrecks, how many times he had to come in on planks. He was concerned more so about his continuing on to do what the Father would have him to do. And so he didn't let present circumstances and situation overthrow his overall mission, whether he was in a ship, whether he was in prison, whether he was lacking something, a coat or food or significant offerings, or whether no matter what state he found himself in, he found out that he was not moved by. He said, listen, none of these things move me. That's what he said. Listen, I've enjoyed being with you today. This has been Love You're Making. I am Dr. V, and it is just like Les Brown said, it's a pleasing pleasure to be with you today. Just to share a little bit about from leaders to leaders, from heart to heart, we all know we go from glory to glory. I've shared with you today the importance of preparation, the importance of contemplation, and the importance of application. You know, preparing to do something amazingly and awesomely in your life, start inside of you, and then go to your home, and then go to your community, and to the uttermost parts of the world, you know, as the Bible would say, spend time. Preparation is key. Contemplation, think about what you're doing. Let the Holy Spirit share his thoughts about what you're doing, and then adjust yourself accordingly. And then your application, what you do, how you do it, who you do it with, who you do it for, let it be grounded on those principles of intent, the spirit of love, intensity, the spirit of increase, and integrity, the spirit of truth. I so enjoyed being with you today. I look forward to being with you in 2 weeks on a Thursday, 5 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, not Eastern, Central Standard Time, and where I am right now in the great state of Texas, and wherever you are in the world. God bless you, and we love you. And the peace of God be with you. Keep improving. Amen. This has been Love Your Making with Dr. V.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Who made the right moves? Doing moving and storage.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Benita Dereef with Create Your Own You. I am so excited to be back with you guys this evening speaking. I'm only on every other week, every 2 weeks or so. So I am so grateful to be back. I hope everybody had a fabulous past 2 weeks since I've been on. I hope that, you know, if any tragedies or any losses or anything like that has happened to you, that you do overcome it and think about the positive things, that positive life on a daily basis when you can. I know things happen in life that gives you negative thoughts, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to go through it, and we got to get ourselves out of it and seek counsel to whoever that can assist you in those areas. What I want to talk about this evening is building your confidence. You know, yesterday I was at a graduation for a college here locally, and it was just amazing to see how the graduates came in. They came into the auditorium, and they were looking so beautiful and fabulous, and they, you know, they had their little suits on under their robes and their nice, pretty dresses, and they had the makeup on, you know. It gave them that sense of confidence that, you know what, they completed their college career. And some, you know, they're going to move on to another level of college. But, you know, the level that they graduated from at, currently yesterday, they were so excited. I mean, they all walked in the auditorium with smiles on their face. Nobody wasn't smiling. They were just excited to see all of us in the arena. I can't even tell you how many people was in the arena. It had to be at least 5,000 or more. It was extreme. This was a huge graduation yesterday. And I was so grateful that I was asked to go to the graduation from a young lady that I know. She asked would I come to her graduation. And, you know, I said, yes, I will be there. It was like yesterday morning. You know, when you get the call and they're like, you know, when you come to my graduation, you know, I can use this support. Yeah, I would definitely be there for your graduation. I did not disappoint her. You know, I had to go show her and show her some love and congratulate her on her graduation yesterday and her degree that she got. You know, she wants to work with people in like foster care and work with people in like the social work area. That's like her passion that she wants to do. So, you know, that built her confidence up when she received that diploma yesterday. You know, it was like, okay, now I can go out in the work world, and now I could take what I learned in school and I could put it to use. And, you know, she has the confidence to do it now because she learned what she needed to do. Now going out into the world and actually working in the workforce, it's going to even build more confidence because she's going to learn more of this trade that she's in and coming across different families and coming across different families' problems and their barriers, and how can she help them overcome their problems and their barriers. And it was such a rewarding experience yesterday. I haven't been to a college graduation probably since I graduated from college way back in the early 2000s. You know, it's a while ago since I actually attended a graduation. So I was just amazed at all the young men and all the young ladies that, you know, accomplished a goal that they set out for themselves, and they reached it. And it was several people that got awards, and a few people, it was some people that got more than just awards. So, you know, they worked extra hard So, you know, even with getting those awards, that builds your confidence. Like, okay, I got one award. And then you hear your name get called again. It's like, oh, my gosh, I got another award? So it's building confidence. It's building their self-esteem. It's up-leveling them on becoming mature men and women in the community. And, you know, when we think about it, a lot of us, we get caught up because we feel like we're not confident enough to do something. We're not confident enough to open a business or start a business. We're not confident enough to go back to school and get another degree. We're not confident enough to ask our boss for a raise at work. We're not confident enough to even apply for a new position at work. We're not even confident enough to sometimes speak to our parents about certain situations that, you know, maybe your parent or your grandparents or somebody are like the only ones that can really help you. You know, we always feel like we're not confident enough to do anything, to do some things in life. And actually, in reality, we are. We have all the confidence in us. We just need to bring that confidence out and show the world that we are confident, we're builders, we love on everybody, we can get out there and, you know, don't feel like we're going to be a failure. We just have everything going on with our confident level that we have. And, you know, some ways to build confidence, sometimes you just have to actually work on your self-esteem, Self-esteem is huge because a lot of people feel like they're not wanted when, you know, in certain areas of life. You know, their father may have abandoned them. Their mother may have abandoned them. They may have been bullied in school. So their self-esteem level has went down very, very low. So they have to build their self-esteem level and then get into the more of the confidence that they are to become. And with doing that, you know, some things you have to do. Like Maxwell Marx said, low self-esteem is like driving through life with your handbrake on all the time. Could you imagine just driving through life and you just got your handbrake on and you're not releasing it because you're too afraid to do anything else out of the norm? And a lot of things when it comes to self-esteem and confidence is sometimes going out the norm that people are afraid to do. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to do the same thing that your friends and your family is doing, and asking them for support or help may not be the best way to go because they may not support you in that area. So here, I'm just wanting to let you know, there are several things that, you know, you can do to build your confidence level up. And one of them is, number one, is visualization. You know, you have to visualize where you want to be at in life. You have to visualize who you want to become in life. Okay, as long as you're on this side of the grass, you can do this on a daily basis. You can visualize as much as you want to, as long as you want to. If you want to visualize that you're going to be a CEO of a company, you know what? Sit there, close your eyes, have it completely dark, or make sure there's no music, no sound. It's just you in the room, just visualizing what you want to do. And a picture of that will be, you know, you want to be a CEO of a company. You know, you may think about it like this. You may just want to go out and buy, like, nice suits and visualize you have this nice Armani suit on or something, or another name. You got this nice suit on, maybe gray or black or blue, and you got these nice high heel shoes on, and they match in your purse that you're carrying, and you just, like, sitting at a desk on like the 15th floor of a building, and your view is awesome. You're looking out and you see high rises. You may even see water outside your window. You may see it may be something more like a house or a penthouse that you're looking at. But visualize yourself seeing those things and putting yourself actually in that space so that you can see it on a continuous basis. Now, you can't just visualize for one day. It's not going to happen. You have to visualize it enough so that your mind can conceive it and believe it. So once your mind conceive it and believe it, that means that you're going to be able to get where you want in a faster pace than most people, okay? You have to make sure if you're visualizing, you may want to do this at a set time every morning. So let's say every morning at 6 o'clock, you get up and you start your visualization. And you look, you think about everything that you want. For years, I have been visualizing that I want a cabin in the woods, surrounded by trees, very secluded, but not too far from neighbors. But I'm secluded still, and that I have like a small pond, not too big, but just a little small pond to hang out in, a nice fire pit. You know, inside my cabin, I'm going to have 3 bedrooms with king, queen size beds in them. And they're going to all have their own bathroom in them, in the bedrooms. You know, and down the kitchen is going to be a pretty aqua color. And the countertops are going to be white. I'm going to have a little island in the cabin, little island in the kitchen where we can hang out and play cards or play games. And, you know, when you visualize, you want to make sure you get it to the most detailed as you can. You know, it's going to be a swing on my porch. And, you know, it's going to be a nice swing. We're going to have a couple of, like I said, fire pits in the front and in the back. In the back of the cabin, it's going to be like a little tiny small stream going through, something that you could just run through, get your feet wet, and have fun. It's going to be at least 4 acres so we can run around. My nieces, my nephew, you know, they can take the ATV and ride around the property that we're going to have in the woods. So that's like how I visualize everything to the most detailed part of the visualization. So that's when I say, when you visualize, don't just make it, you know, really minding, oh, I just want to be a CEO. I want to just, you know, be on the 16th floor. What exactly do that look like? You have to put all the pieces together like it's a puzzle. And if that one piece you don't have, that puzzle's not going to work right. You can't put that piece in another piece of the puzzle because it's not going to fit. So you have to make sure all the pieces fit to how you want to be in life, or what you want to be in life, or who you want to be, or where you want to be at in life, as far as your job, your relationship, community. What do you want to do in a community? What do you want to be at your local church or synagogue or mosque? Like, what do you want to be in those areas? You have to sit down and make sure that you have what you want. Make sure you know what you want for every area, aspect of your life, and that just comes with visualization. And also, I would say, a lot of people, you know, they want to be speakers. You know, if you visualize yourself of being a motivator speaker, how about just sitting and thinking about, okay, what stadium I want to speak in? You know, what's the name of the stadium? Is the stadium going to be KeyBank Stadium, or is it going to be Mets Field, or the Yankees Field, or, you know, anything? Where do I want to be at to be this speaker? And just imagine yourself walking on that stage, and you see all the lights are beaming on you, coming from every direction, and all you do is hear all these people yelling and screaming your name and clapping and cheering for you. How many people you want in the audience? Do you want 5,000 people? Do you want 10,000 people? Do you want 20,000 people in the audience? How many people do you want? Where do you want to go with this? So as a speaker, you want to visualize that part too. And then, you know, even to start off small as a speaker, pick a topic that you are interested in, okay? Pick a topic. So let's say you're a mom and you have 4 kids and you're a stay-at-home mom. That's a good topic because you have a target market of stay-at-home moms. And you could do you could speak on that and how your daily routine is and what you do for your kids and what, you know, how the kids drive you crazy, and, you know, because it may help another mom out, because she may be struggling being a stay-at-home mom, and she may be just stressed out because, you know, she's taking on this parenting role. And she has like 4 kids, but she's a stay-at-home mom, and the kids are, you know, year after year, they, you know, they're like 2, 3, 4, and 5. So, you know, she still have those energetic kids, and she may be stressed out. So you speaking on how your routine is can help another mother out on how she can do time management with her kids or time management with her schedule. She may not be putting the kids down to take a nap, and they're just up all day long. Some parents I know put their kids down at 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon so they can get some rest, and the parent can get some rest. So just speak on something that you are very knowledgeable on. And another thing with speaking or being a speaker, you want to rehearse. You don't want to just get out on the stage or anything like that, you know, because you want to build your confidence up. So you want to rehearse this speech that you're going to give to stay-at-home moms. You want to rehearse it. You want to write it down. You probably want to write it out first and then rehearse it. Walking around a house, get a mirror and act like the mirror is you, but just give yourself another name. Give yourself Tammy. She's staring at you in the mirror. Do the whole entire speech towards the person in the mirror. You know, make it fun. Make it energetic. You know, all of this stuff really builds up your confidence, because once you complete that step, you're going to say, yes, I can do this again. This was wonderful. Let me schedule me another speaking engagement somewhere. It's going to build your confidence up. The next thing I would say is say affirmations every day. You know, say something very rewarding to yourself every day. Say something positive to yourself. Don't let the negative thoughts get into your mind. Like I said, as your brain conceives things, it will believe it. So if you're pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring all of this positive energy into your brain, what's going to happen? Your brain is going to say, okay, your subconscious is going to say, okay, that was very negative. Let me kick you out and put what you put into your subconscious, okay? You want to just make sure that you are doing something, saying something positive to yourself. So, you know, write out about 20 affirmations. You know, I am a winner. I am a boss. I am so happy and grateful to be alive this day. I am so grateful for my kids. I am a happy person every day. I love me. You know, you want to say, I am brilliant. I can teach people things that I know. I can love on anyone without a problem, or see color, or see skin, or nationalities, or religion. I love on everybody. You know, you want to make sure that you are saying all those I ams to you. And when you're saying that to yourself, and make sure you're saying it out loud. Don't just be saying it to you. Don't be just putting it into your mind quietly. You know, you want to speak this into existence. So you want to speak it out loud so that you can hear yourself saying, I am beautiful. I am bold. I am fabulous. I am always going to be a go-getter. I am grateful. And whatever you're grateful for, all of us need to be grateful for everything, especially if we wake up every morning. A lot of people did not wake up this morning. Be grateful that you are alive and well today, okay? Because we never know when we're not. You know, and if you have other people that's around you that's negative, you know what? Say, hey, especially if you're living with them, say, hey, you know, I don't need this negativity. We need to change our mindset in this house. We need to start speaking things into existence so that we won't have so much chaos going on. We won't have brothers and sisters bickering with each other. It'll be more of a family, and we can communicate with each other. So when you say those words of I am and you say those affirmations to yourself out loud, you would notice. Honestly, you would, trust me, you will notice the change in yourself. You will notice the change in your mood. Honestly, you're going to notice the change about people around you, because they're going to say, oh, what's going on with her? She sounds and looks different. So they're going to pretty much adapt to what you're doing, and they're going to be positive too. Then you're going to create a whole positive environment. It's, you know, just say things positive to yourself. As soon as that negativity come in there, kick it right out. You got to know when negativity is popping into your mind, because we're so used to negative things that we don't even realize that it's a negative thought. So you have to learn how to notice and realize your negative thinking, so you can automatically say, oh, no, not today. not negativity, get out my brain, get out my subconscious, positivity, here we come. You know, and that's going to build your confidence up so much to where you're going to just be so fabulous. It's like you're going to be walking on clouds because, you know, you built your confidence up and you're excited about what you're doing and where you're going in life. The other thing I would say was number three, do something that scares you. You know, go, you know, I don't want nobody to jump out of a plane or anything like that. You know, we don't have to be that dramatic for people to just go, okay, I'm going to go jump out of a plane because that really terrifies me. Absolutely no. Don't go do that. I'm not saying that. But you know what? Some people are terrified to get on a roller coaster and never get on a roller coaster before. Go get on a small one first. Heck, go get a little kitty one with your kid or your granddaughter, your niece or your nephew. Start off small. Get on a small roller coaster. At least you got on a roller coaster. Do something that you are afraid of every day. Do something every day that you're afraid of. A lot of us don't speak to people who's walking past us because we don't know what the reaction that we're going to get. You know, every morning when I go into my bagel shop, and I won't say every morning, I'm trying to cut it out a little bit, but when I go to my local bagel shop here, they know what I want normally when I get in there. And, you know, I kind of speak to everybody as we walking in the parking lot, as we walking into the bagel shop, you know, because it brightens my day up and it helps my self-confidence too, because some people, just like a few weeks ago, I was walking in the bagel store and I held the door open. And the lady just walks in on her cell phone and didn't say absolutely nothing. I said, ma'am, you're welcome. Have a great day. She said, oh, I'm sorry. I was just on the phone. I apologize. Thank you for holding the door open. See, it's stuff like that that makes people realize that they did something negative or something that was thoughtless. And it takes you just to say something really simple. Thank you. You're welcome. I said, you know, welcome for holding to have a great day. You know, and she acknowledged me back on an apology saying, I apologize. I didn't say thank you for holding that door open for me. But so you just got to make things aware sometimes with people. And you may see somebody that look real grumpy or look real mean. And that person technically really isn't. It's just that you don't know the person, but you just assume that person is mean. But you know what? Even somebody that comes across my path that just look mean or just don't look like they're happy, I always say hi to them. I always say good morning, how you doing, good afternoon. And you know, I put a smile on somebody's face because some people may be going through something and they may be lonely where they don't even have nobody to really speak to. You know, I was reading, I believe, on Facebook the other day and. A homeless guy, I forgot who put it up, you know, but a homeless guy said the worst thing about being homeless was not the point that he wasn't eating every day. And it wasn't that he wasn't clean or had a shower or anything like that. He said the worst thing about being homeless was that he don't have any friends. He's lonely. There's no one to communicate with. There's no family members coming out to see the person. There's no one coming up to him, speaking to him on a daily basis because they're already judging his character based on the way he looks, sitting on the sidewalk or sitting in the park or wherever the gentleman was at, but they're already basing themselves on that. I speak to all types of people walking around. I speak to the homeless. I speak to everybody. I don't even care who it is. I just say, hi, how you doing? Now, if they speak back, they speak back, wonderful. But if they don't take it personally. They may have something going on. But just speaking to somebody every day builds your confidence because you're doing something that you don't do every day. You're doing something out the norm because generally people just walk past each other, especially today's age. Everybody's walking with a cell phone. Everybody's texting. They're not paying attention to human contact pretty much no more. You know, it's all about the cell phone. It's all about texting. It's all about taking pictures. But even if you see somebody looking down, walking, texting, say, hey, how you doing? They'll probably look up and they're going to say hi and keep walking and keep texting. But at least you said something to somebody. You may have a fear of speaking to people. So that can be an easy way to build your confidence up is going to do that to about 10, 15 people a day. All you got to do is say hi. something you don't do every day. Another thing, if to build your confidence up, if you are on Facebook or if you're on Instagram or if you have you've been on YouTube but you don't have a YouTube page, go live. Go live for like 5 minutes. And once you do it once, once you do it twice, and once you do it three times, your confidence level is going to go up so high that you're going to be amazed at yourself that you actually did this, that you actually went live on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. You're overwhelmed with yourself saying, I did it. I'm good. I can continue on. I can, you know, get over it. Like, and you're jumping for joy because you did something that you felt like you couldn't do. Come on, that's an awesome, awesome confidence builder right there. It totally is. Another one is, I said speak to who come in contact with you already. Another one is help someone else. As I spoke about the homeless, you know, go volunteer at a nurse home. A lot of times they do not get family and friends in at the nursing home. Go volunteer and be an activities aide. Go volunteer and do bingo and stuff with the individuals that live at assisted living or the nurse home. And that helps you build your confidence up because now you're helping in the community. You're helping someone who really don't have a lot of family members. And sometimes they accept you as a family member because you're coming in and you're helping them all the time with, you know, feeling loved again, feeling like somebody care about them again. Feeling like they have they have a lot more time on this earth and not just wasting it, you know, in their beds or just with the people that's at a nursing home. So always make sure that go out and help somebody. Another confidence builder is dress nice. Do you believe when you go and dress, get a new outfit? And you go and you dress extremely nice. So you went out and brought in a suit and got a nice tie to go with it and a nice pair of shoes or a wonderful dress and a pair of shoes and you got your makeup done and you got your hair done. You know, when you get dressed up nicely, you got a different walk to yourself. You're walking with a strut that you never walk with. You're walking with your shoulders back and your chest up and your smiling more and everything like that. You know, put on nice clothes every day. Clothes will make you feel so much better. It really will. It makes you feel like I am the king of the world or the queen of the world. You know, putting on outfits, sundresses, anything like that. You know, you may be in a situation where you just usually wear jeans and t-shirts and sneakers. I'm that type of girl. But when I get dressed up, I feel fabulous. And I know everybody else do too. It's just one of those things that makes you feel fabulous. Another thing is do daily exercise. When you work out and you do one of those physical fitness classes and you feel like you couldn't get through it because you haven't worked out in so long, but you finally get through a 40-minute class or a 45-minute class and you're like, yes, I did it. That is definitely a confident builder. It helps you build your confidence. Another, empower yourself. Listen to knowledgeable information. Learn knowledgeable information, whether that's through books, whether that's through audio. Make sure it's something that's going to equip you and empower you throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month, throughout your life. Make sure you are being empowered by what you are listening to at all times. You know, it was wonderful to speak with you guys this evening. This is Vanita Durees, Create Your Own You. I'm also on Facebook under the same thing, Vanita Durees, VenitaDurice. I'll be back in another 2 weeks to talk to you guys. I cannot wait to talk to you. And, you know, go out there and do some confident things that you would never think about doing yourself, because I know every day I try to do something to build my confidence up. And when I went out yesterday to the graduation, I got really decked out to go. I don't carry a purse. I even had a purse last night. I feel fabulous. So just do something that makes you feel good. Again, have a fabulous weekend. Have a fabulous 2 weeks until the next time I see you. This is Vanita Durees Ziegler. Create Your Own You. Have a blessed evening, morning, or night. Thank you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
I just want to take a moment to say thank you to all of you who have been tuning in the last several weeks as we have launched this new broadcast. I've heard some wonderful feedback from you about the show, and I just want you to know that you are appreciated, and I definitely want to continue to hear from you. Now, the concept behind the living room is the fact that the living room is a place where you can actually pull up a chair and have a good conversation. It's a place where you can be comfortable. I call it real talk about real issues. And the goal behind the living room is to engage in conversation that is both informational and inspirational. And so I love talking with people. I love learning. I love engaging. And so with that, the concept of the living room was actually prophesied over me, and it was birthed shortly thereafter. So once again, welcome to the living room. Our guests for the last several weeks have been really an eclectic, diverse group. I've had authors. I've had makeup artists. I've had marketing specialists. I've had pastors, apostles. All of those people talk about real issues. And at the end of the day, we want you to leave the broadcast feeling encouraged, feeling empowered, feeling like you can conquer something that maybe you were not comfortable with before. But after hearing from our guests and really hearing how they were able to overcome some of the challenges that they face, you feel now empowered that you too can do it. So I hope you're going to continue to tune in. My guest for today, oh, you're going to be glad you tuned in. She is an author and a speaker. She's has her master's in communications from Georgia State. But more than that, she is an authentic woman of God, and I so appreciate that about her. Her name is Sandra Scott. And so welcome to the living room, Sandra. So glad to
have you. Oh, I am happy to be with you this evening. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to start out because as I wrote in the promos leading up to tonight's broadcast, I told people that we were going to talk about your book, and we are absolutely going to talk about your book. But before we get to that, I wanted to let the listeners hear a little bit more about you. So tell us a little bit about yourself so that we can kind of give some context to
the richness of the book that you released recently.
Yes, well, I am a minister of the gospel, and I praise God for that. I thank God for blessing me to grow up in a loving Christian home. But the first type of ministry that I really got involved in was music ministry. So I was a pianist for many years. I started out as a young girl playing for the senior choir, no less. Senior choir. Then I moved on to college. Played for the gospel choir, and then I did something that I didn't want to do, Juliet, and that was marry a minister. No, it was not on my list of things, but I married a minister, and I decided within myself, because I had been so shy at public speaking, that I actually told God that, God, please don't ever call me to preach. Well, he caused me to fall in love with a minister that I didn't want to do, and then wouldn't God call me to preach? Well...
There you go. The very thing that you asked him not to do.
Yes.
We can say with great confidence on this side that we are so glad he didn't answer that prayer.
And all of that was just based out of fear and timidity and having experienced some humiliation and embarrassment at trying to do public speaking. So it was based in fear, not in love. But God had other things designed and destined for me. And I also was privileged to serve alongside my husband as he established his Army career as a chaplain for 26 years. So we traveled here and there, and we were right together. Of course, he's retired from that now. But we've still been engaged in kingdom work, no matter where we are.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. So let's talk about this book, Wisdom from the Garden. And I'm just going to say a few words by way of introduction, and then we're going to talk more details. One of the things I love about this book is that the cover is very appealing, but when you open it, you are surprised to find that there's just pages and pages of beautiful color photos of gardens and of scenic places that really give you an appreciation for just nature and God's creation. So I know that that somehow has to be tied into the message of the book. The other thing I want to say at the outset is the fact that it's written in such a way that you can almost use it as a devotional or a study guide, because each one of the 12 life lessons that you go over in the book has a lovely part at the end of each chapter called Garden and Girl Guidance. And I just love those because they're very salient points, very sage wisdom that you offer in those sections. So that kind of gives you kind of a higher level overview of the book. So now let's talk about how this book came into being. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, I have, and thank you so much for those compliments and those on your viewpoint of the book. That really helps me understand how readers are really taking the message. But I have gardened for years. I've been out there digging and planting and growing, mainly flowers, and I've also been an avid houseplant gardener as well. So that gardening a part of my life just grounds me. It's like home, Sandra, home to the garden. That when I'm out traveling or coming back, the first thing I want to do is tend to my houseplants, or to, if it's spring, summer, or fall, to get out there in the garden. That's homeostasis for me, and God put that in me I think providence. My mother was an avid gardener, but you know, that was mama's thing. I didn't know it was really getting planted in my heart. But I wrote the book, I started last year in April 2018, feeling a surge in my heart to just gather the pictures that I've been taking for so many years, just gather it together. And it's interesting that you mentioned the word devotional, because originally that's what I had intended to do with a lot of those pictures of the flowers, is to write an inspirational devotional. But as I began to gather all of those pictures, I said, you know what? I'm actually writing a book. And then with my phenomenal editor, my son, Pastor Sir Walter Scott III, he helped me. Of course, he could not be the third without the junior, his father.
Absolutely. You're right about that.
No, but he helped me to understand, you know, Mom, there are really messages and guidance and wisdom coming from the garden. And so we began to put that book together, and here we are, just really right at a year later, as God has now birthed this book that has been in my heart for a long time. I thought it was a devotional, but it ended up being my very first book. I'm so thankful and grateful.
Well, I'm telling you, there are 12 of those lessons, and they all have a lot of wisdom in them. So the title couldn't have been better. So let's see if we can't get to some of those lessons. Lesson number 4 stood out because it is challenging us to adjust our viewpoint. And so why is that important?
Yes, when I'm out in the yard, Juliet, I can see 1,000 things that need to be done. I can see, oh, the weeds are taking over. I can see, oh, my goodness, I need to go prune those rose bushes. I need to go break off the dead blossoms so the new blossoms can come forth. I can see 1,000 things to get done. So I'm not necessarily looking at the beauty. I see the beauty, but I'm a tasker, so my first view of the garden is what needs to get done. But okay. I was out in the garden. Yes, I was out in the garden one day when my neighbor drove by, and I looked up. She seemed so friendly and welcoming. She said, I just want to tell you that every day I drive by your garden, it's an uplift in my day. The flowers are so beautiful, and I just wanted to tell you, I just appreciate what you're doing. All I could do was agree with her. I wasn't going to naysay her compliment and her joy.
Yes.
And to, no, I didn't do that. She saw the yard and what I was doing is beautiful. I saw it as tasking and a million things need to get done. But when she drove off, this is the message that came to me. Adjust your viewpoint.
Wow.
What other people see is different from what you see. And what she was inviting me to do, actually, was level up. Come up higher,
mm-hmm.
Sandra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, it occurs to me, too, that when you say adjust your viewpoint, and I love the analogy that goes along with that chapter, because when you think about it, we can always see what's wrong. We're always our own worst critic. Many times, you know, we just don't have an appreciation for the blessings
yes.
that are going on in our lives because we are too busy focusing on the fact that it's not what we want it to be. So when
yes.
you say adjust your viewpoint, then that made me think, okay, so somebody else sees what I see, but they don't see it the same way. Maybe it's because I don't appreciate what I actually have. And they see it, you know, and they see it, and they're able to appreciate it.
Yes, that's exactly right. So from that, I decided, you know what, I'll do my tasking, but I won't discount what other people are enjoying as they drive by the yard. And as I walk around my neighborhood, actually, I can kind of see what she's saying. A lot of yards are nice, but I have to have that blooming factor in my yard, Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have to have color. I have to have some pop going from spring to late fall because that's a real enjoyment for me. And so I think that's what catches people's eye, that color when they drive by the yard. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would imagine, too, that in the natural, as you've been working on your garden, that you had to make some adjustments, you know, maybe, you know, plant some different type of plants or treat one plant differently than the way that you would treat the other. I confess I am not a gardener. I will share with you very candidly. I said to my mom one day, I said, Mom, I want the kind of flowers where, you know, inside the house, the plants, so you don't have to do much to them, but they still look great. She said to me, these profound words, baby, those are called silk. and that was my cue. So with that as a background, I can tell you that I can appreciate what mm-hmm. it takes to develop and grow a beautiful garden. But I know that that's not something that I have firsthand experience at. So I say that to say that when we are developing as God's garden, as blossoming ourselves,
yes.
That, you know, sometimes we have to, you know, trial and error. Sometimes we have to learn, okay, now this time I won't do that, or the next time this is a teachable moment. Let me learn some dish so that next time around I will treat this particular bush differently, or I won't prune it as early. You follow mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I can see the application of even working in a garden versus being in a position or a posture of development ourselves.
That is absolutely so true. As a gardener, and gardeners would know, sometimes we plant things in a place that is not optimal for their growth. I have some landscape plants that I have planted, and they're beautiful to me, and they're green. The leaves are big and green, and then they even shoot up a beautiful blossom. But I notice about midsummer, and it's a plant called hosta. About mm-hmm. midsummer, the edges of those leaves start curling and crunching. Why? Because I planted them in full sun. Hostas do not thrive well in full sun. They need shade, part sun, but a lot of shade, so they can remain lush and green, and so they don't lose moisture as quickly. So yes, and what did I do last year? I said, you know what? These hostas aren't doing well. So I dug up a lot of them and put them now in pots just for safekeeping on the back porch. And I looked out at my back porch. They are thriving beautifully. So sometimes we're planted in a place, and that translates to sometimes the environment that you are in is not the best environment for you to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And you must pay attention to what's going on with you. Sometimes you're walking into an environment that depresses you, or an mm-hmm. environment that does not celebrate you for who you are. And that's not really feeding and nourishing your soul and nourishing your self-esteem. And so you would do well to receive some counsel or to do some research to say, now, where can I really flourish? And ask the master, well, gardener, ask God for guidance.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Ask him, where should I be transplanted so I can really grow?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And to your credit, and certainly to Pastor Sawalter's credit, that will preach all by itself. I may need to get my sermon notes out and get a message from it myself. So listen, if you just tuned in, you are joining us in the living room, the place where conversations are life-changing. We're talking to Sandra Scott, who's the author of Wisdom from the Garden, and it's an exciting discussion, and I want to encourage you to pull up a chair, as I always say, because this is great conversation. So let me get back to lesson number six, where you mm-hmm. say, win every time. Now, most of us would think, but that can't be so. I mean, you don't win every time. Tell us what you mean by that.
We win every time. That life lesson six is you win every time, because this is what my garden taught me. The flowers that are growing, and they may be mm-hmm. the same type of flower, say, for instance, the iris. And for anyone who doesn't know what an iris is, of course, you can Google that. But irises come in various colors. But what I realize, my beautiful yellow heirloom irises that I got from that I have kept from my mother's garden, they don't say to the deep purple irises in the garden, you know what, you need to be bright and sunny and yellow like me.
Okay.
And the purple irises don't say, oh no, you need to be deep, dark, and purple like me. The irises grow as they have been created to grow. They are winners in their own right, in their own beauty, in their own exquisiteness, designed by the Creator. They don't have to compete. What disturbs me, and I understand competition helps us to be challenged and to build stronger muscles, and it pushes us to limits that we haven't even thought possible. But what bothers me, especially in a lot of the reality television shows where you have competitions between chefs,
right,
cooking competitions, singing competitions, dance competitions, all of the competitions, what bothers me is that eventually somebody is declared a loser.
Okay.
The winner of the universe, God Himself, does not create losers.
That's good.
We are all winners. So before we do anything, and I'm not saying we shouldn't strive and to have goals and to achieve some great things, but before we do anything, because the heart of God decided that we should be here, we win.
We win. We win.
Yes.
We win.
But we won't believe that until we get in that environment we just talked about that can affirm us, that can nourish us with positive words, that can teach us some things, that can share some wisdom, some counsel, that can provide some boundaries for us. Don't go here, go here, watch yourself here, watch when you step. So we need the advice and the counsel of those who have journeyed on before us to guide us and to say, yes, you can do it. And this is a message you have to hear a lot of different times in a lot of different ways. Because if you come up in an environment that says, no, you can't be that, you can't go there, you can't have that, who do you think you are? If you're constantly barraged with that type of message, oh, you're going to need a lot of balancing on the other side of the scale for you to really believe, I win just because I am. And after that, after I know that I win because of who created me, because of who I am and whose I am, after I understand that, and then I move out executing and achieving and planning. That's when I can achieve some things. And then someone says, you know what? You would be a good writer. That's when I start testing the waters on some achievement levels. But the fact that you win every time means I win because I am. I was birthed from the heart of God, and so from there, I just need to know what His plan and His purpose is for me in the earth.
Wow. So then that really deals with just your self-esteem and your identity and knowing who you are and whose you are. So even when things don't work out the way that you had planned, you still win. You still win. You can turn it into a teachable moment, as I often say. You can use that information from that experience to give you better footing in the next experience. So there are so many other things that you can do, even when the things don't turn out the way that you hope. So absolutely, we win. We win. So now, here's the life lesson that I think I like the most. It's life lesson 8, and it says, a transformation process can be quite strenuous. It will test your resolve to stay the course, but keep your focus directed on the glorious results.
There's
a lot to unpack in there, because first of all, you're telling me that transformation is a process.
Yes, it is. And the illustrations, and yes, the illustrations in the book are colorful, full color, which is engaging for the eye because, you know, we learn visually as well. You know, we learn audibly,
yes.
But it helps to have mm-hmm. that visual representation to help our brain and our heart really, really get the message. But I really enjoy this Life Lesson 8 as well, a transformation, strenuous but glorious. And in that, I'm sharing an example of a heavy duty a landscape project that I did when we lived in Delaware, transforming the walkway, and I won't get into that. But it took a great resolve for me to say, yes, I want to do this. I want to improve the curb appeal of the home. I knew going into it that it was going to physically challenge me to haul to dig up all of that weeded area and haul
yeah.
in all of
oh,
that
yeah.
gravel and all of that thing. So when I'm in the garden, I'm a heavy duty garden girl. You know, I really do heavy duty work. But it ends up being glorious. The transformation is glorious, and that's the point of Life Lesson 8, that a transformation process can be strenuous. It's
mm-hmm.
not just like, you know, skipping through the tulips, as we would say. No. Mm-mm, no, it's going to test you. It's going to stretch you. You're going to be uncomfortable. But along the way, if you keep your eyes focused on the results, the what you originally intended to be for yourself to be in your life, the goals you want to achieve, if you stay the course, take some breaks in there. You know, wipe,
mm-hmm.
get a handkerchief, wipe the sweat, you know, stand back from the computer, get up, go for a walk, but get back to the journey at hand so you can really achieve what you set out to do. So it is a process, but I believe it's worth all the effort.
Well, it sounds to me like Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind, right? I press towards the mark. So when you're
yes.
keeping your eyes focused, you know, that in that scripture, it definitely lets you know there's some things going on, but
yes.
what you need to do. It's a prescription, really, for success. And so this Life Lesson 8, I think, is something I may have to put up on my computer or on my wall. Focus is powerful, and as you know, focus can keep you from being distracted, which is a message in and of itself. So I am really excited about this book. People who are listening have heard just enough to be able to whet their appetite and to get them in a place where they're wanting to know, how can I get this book? So tell us, how can we get a hold of this book?
Yes, well, I'm so glad to be able to share that Wisdom from the Garden, 12 Life Lessons to Grow By, is up and running on Amazon.com. So the
Yay.
Book,
okay.
mm-hmm, the book and the ebook, yes, the book and
the e-book
are
exactly
up and running
too.
On Amazon.
Oh,
and
all
you would have
okay.
to do is type in, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the book is Wisdom from the Garden, and you could just type in my name, Sandra Scott, and with those words together, the book will come, and they will see that beautiful green tree that you talked about at the beginning on the cover
mm-hmm.
of the book. That's my book.
So if someone wanted to reach out to you, are you on social media? How can they reach you?
Yes. First of all, by email, if they wanted to contact me directly, I have a Gmail email. It is gardensforwisdom@gmail.com. Now, that's garden with an S, gardens, the number 4,
mm-hmm.
the word wisdom, gardensforwisdom@gmail.com. And
okay.
then on Facebook, I have a Facebook page, which is Wisdom from the Garden, and I post videos on that related to this message and also some other kinds of teaching moments, teaching posts that I post on that page.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I would say to those who are listening, I strongly encourage you to put this in your reading schedule for the year. I try to read at least several books throughout the year, and as the Lord leads, I like to delve into them, and some of them I actually sow into the lives of others because I read them and that person may come to mind. So whether you would want to purchase it for yourself or as a gift, I think it would make a wonderful addition to your library. But you want to make sure you get it and read it because those Garden Girl pieces on the back end of each chapter, I think, are definitely time well spent. So thank you so much, Sandra, for taking the time to be obedient and to birth this first book. And I say first because I believe there will be many that come after this. So definitely want to encourage you to allow the writer in you to continue to come forth.
Thank you so much. It's just been such an honor and such a pleasure to be with you in the living room this evening. I appreciate the opportunity so much. God bless you as well.
Wonderful. Well, so listen, if you have been listening in, we have been engaging in another inspirational and informational discussion about the book Wisdom from the Garden. I want you to tune in again. The next time we'll be on the air will be Thursday, June the 6th. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'll be bringing you another inspirational guest who is going to share from the pages of their life, and I know you are going to be blessed. This is Juliette Davis, and I am so glad you took the time to join us, and I want you to know that I look forward to hearing from you. You can find me on Facebook at Juliette Davis or Juliette Davis Ministries, or I'm also on Instagram under the heading True_Journey. I would love to hear from you. My email address is destinyempower@gmail.com. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And join us again for another exciting show in the living room. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.